love right now, Father. Oh, Lord, I ask you to touch, penetrate to our hearts, the deepest part of us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your love fill every piece, every portion, head to toe, in and out, all around, Father. Surround us with your love. Oh, we rest assured in your love. Say this with me. Say, Father, you love me, and I love you. Holy Spirit, you love me, and I love you. Jesus, you love me, and I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Want to let you know, ladies, this Saturday is Woven. If you've never been to a Woven, for the ladies, I'd encourage you to come. It'll be Saturday at 10 a.m. right here, and it'll be a great time. God always is doing a great work in the ladies. So, hallelujah. You love the Lord? Amen. He is so awesome, isn't he? And each one of you have been brought here tonight for an assignment. For some, this might be a review. For others, it might be new. But if it's a review, you can take this information and share it with someone else. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to go ahead and begin there. Do you know who you are? And do you know whose you are? How do you identify yourself? Where do you find your identity? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this: I have been crucified with Christ. When were you crucified with him? When he was, right? He was our representative. He was our substitute. So we have been crucified with Christ. I have shared his crucifixion. I'm reading from the Amplified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. Say that. Say, Christ lives in me. Isn't that awesome? How Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, he chose to live in you, to make you his dwelling place. That's awesome. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So now that Christ lives in you, your job is to live for him, is to let him live through you by faith. You live this life that you're living now, we live it by faith in the Son of God. You know what? There's no better place to put your faith than in the Son. Amen? And by the way, he gave you the faith. Faith comes from God, right? Comes from hearing his word. Now, in other words, Adam Clark said it like this: he's the soul of my soul. I like that. Say that. Say, he's the soul of my soul. Okay? So now, the new life that you live, we're supposed to live according to the principles found in God's word, right? Prior to coming to Christ, you didn't live by the principles in God's word. You lived by your senses. You lived by the opinions of others, all right? You lived by your feelings, right? Oh, I don't feel like it today. Well, how did that make you feel? Amen? But see, now in Christ, we're supposed to live according to a different set of principles, and that is the Word of God. So now the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, has to govern our behavior, our speech, our actions, and our thoughts. Amen? You know, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? So, in Christ, he takes away the old, and he gives you something new. All right? Now, let's get into this here. Now, we're going to get to the starting point. All right? The foundation of a new life in Christ is salvation. Okay? It's to be born again. And how do you do that? You receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And once you do that, you become instantly righteous. You know, just if you want to be righteous, just add Jesus. Right? There's instant pudding. There's instant jello. And there's instant salvation. The minute, the moment you put your trust in Christ, Christ puts his nature and his life in you. And he takes away the old, and he gives you something brand new. All right? You actually become a new creature. And so now as a Christian, we're called Christians because we identify with Christ's death, with his burial, with his resurrection. Amen? And the Bible says because he lived, when he rose from the dead, the Bible says that we also rose with him to a new life. Now, how many know Jesus was a little different when he rose from the dead? Right? He could appear out of nowhere. All right? He had flesh and bone, but didn't have any blood. And people recognized him, right? He didn't look different, but he was different. And just as he was raised to a new life, in him we are raised to a new life also. Hallelujah. So, now salvation, it is a free gift. It cannot be earned. It certainly was not deserved. But because of God's grace, he gave it to us. All right? And just like with any gift, a gift can be given and a gift can be received. So, God places a high value on us now. Because now when he looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees the work that was done on the cross. He sees you covered in the blood. And guess what? Because you're covered in the blood, he can't see your past. Because you're covered in his blood, he don't know the mistakes that you did a year ago. Because those mistakes are under the blood. They're covered by the blood. And when they're covered by the blood, you only see red. Now, how do you find out your origin? Everybody's origin, number one, is you got to become a child of God. All right? How do you become a child? Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You believe God's here tonight? Why? Why do you believe God's here tonight? Because what? He said he would be, right? Well, I just don't feel like God is here. Well, he didn't ask you how he felt. He said, where two or three, now we got more than three, are gathered together. We're gathered together, right? And we're not here for entertainment, but we're here for his name, right? So when two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, I am here, right here in the midst. So as I'm speaking tonight, he might be walking through the rows. He's right here. So if you need a touch from him, he just might touch you. You might fall out of your seat. You might jump up and shout. But that's okay. Say, that's okay. Some of you aren't too convinced about expressing yourself yet. We're going to get there, though. Man, I better get going. I got a lot to cover. John chapter 1, and look at verse 10. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Can you imagine the world didn't recognize its creator and did not know him? He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, and they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. But here's how we become children. As many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in his name. So whoever welcomes him and whoever believes in him becomes a child of God. Isn't that great? You say, well, Pastor, that's so simple. That's exactly right. God made it so simple because he wants the biggest family that he could possibly have. He wants to include everybody, old and young, smart and not so smart, rich and poor, right? He includes everybody. You are included in God's plan. Each one of you have been given an open invitation to come unto him. But you got to believe in him or you must receive him. All right? Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now there was a, verse 1, there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, and an authority among the Jews. Notice he was a ruler. He was in authority. He worked with the Pharisees. He came to Jesus at night. I wonder why he came to him at night. Huh? See, some people like to sneak in, and that's okay. As long as you get in. And he said, Rabbi, we know that and are certain that you are come from God, a teacher, for no one can do the signs and the wonders, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again, he cannot experience the kingdom of God. So in order to experience the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. Amen? And Nicodemus was scratching his head. He's like, can a man enter again his mother's womb? And Jesus said, you know, you're thinking naturally. And he said, verse 5, Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is of the physical is physical. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, do not be surprised or astonished at my telling you, you must be born again. Say that. Say, I must be born again. You can either become a member of a family by being born into the family or being adopted into the family, and both share equal importance. Amen? Because when you're born, you're just born. You don't have any control of which family you're born into, right? And when you're adopted, you're chosen. Amen? So the adopted person might say, well, I'm better than you because they chose me. But so you don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter 1:23 says you are born of incorruptible seed. Say incorruptible. That means it's pure, it's the best, it's the highest grade, it's the highest degree of seed, all right? Incorruptible seed, and it's free from defect, it's free from anything missing or anything broken from it, all right? You're born of incorruptible seed. And go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. See, in order for you to find your identity in Christ, you got to know how you got there. Amen? See, so the Bible is your history book. It is the book of origins. It tells you where you came from. It tells you how you got here. And it tells you where you're going. It's all there in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. Someone needs to invent an automatic page turner so that when I talk, the pages can be turning while I get there. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? I can just hit a button, walk away, and expound on something and have my pages turn to where they need to go. Yeah, it's called an electronic book. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2. And that's not, oh, well, because I'm in 2 Peter, that's why. Verse 1, be done with every trace of wickedness. How can I be done with wickedness? Cling to righteousness. Amen? You can replace wickedness with righteousness. And evil speaking of every kind, verse 2. Like newborn babes, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure milk that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto salvation. Do babies drink milk? Yes. And they let you know when it's time to give me some milk. All right? They go, wah! Wah! And when you stick that milk, that milk makes them feel good. But as a Christian, we are to desire, to crave the pure, sincere milk of the Word, because without the Word, you can't grow. The Word is a necessary ingredient for a child of God to grow, because once you get born, then you got to grow. No one stays a baby for 20 years. Well, maybe. Some people that are older, they act in ways like a baby. That's just a passing thought. And then Romans 8:15, don't have to turn there, but he says, he gives us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. You can call God daddy. He's the father to the fatherless. Well, my father didn't treat me good. Oh, but God treats you good. Amen? He's the example of the example of the example of how fathers should be. You can cry, Daddy. You can call God Daddy. What other religion can say who they believe in can call him Daddy? There ain't no other religion on this earth that calls who they believe in daddy. You don't hear the Buddha saying Buddha daddy. You don't hear the Muslims calling Allah daddy. But we can call our God daddy. He's our daddy. He brought us in to his family and to his kingdom. Hallelujah. That's important to know your identity. Look at your neighbor and say, you come from good stock. Did you know that there is no sickness in your spiritual genes? Did you know that there is no defeat in your spiritual genes? There is no defect in your spiritual genes. In your genes, you have nothing missing and nothing broken. So part of knowing your identity, you got to know how you got into God's family. You got here because you were born again. All of us were born. If we weren't born, you wouldn't be here. If your mother never had kids, you won't either. What do you mean? Well, if your mother didn't have kids, you wouldn't be around here, would you? Or you can be adopted. You can go through a legal process by which the child gets legally the name of the family that's adopting them, and it becomes a member of the family with all the rights and privileges and benefits of one who was born into that family. If it was a rich family, the adopted child would get an inheritance just like the one who was born into the family. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I work for a rich Jew. I'm a Jew by adoption. Hallelujah. His retirement plan is out of this world. Oh, his medical plan is by his stripes, you're healed. Glory to God. You are a king's kid. You need to start acting like it. A king identifies with the kingdom. A king walks a certain way, does things in a certain way. A king looks good. Amen? A king gets driven in cars. Hallelujah. You need to see yourself. You need to see yourself. Someone driving you around. Driving Miss Christian. Well, I'm not worthy. Hush! Jesus made you worthy, so you are worthy. Don't disagree with him. You think he went through the cross and the suffering and the shame just so that you could say you're not worthy? I don't think so. You are worthy. That's why he did what he did. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. This will make you shout. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. See, if you didn't think you were qualified, he just said you are. He made you qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people. You are qualified to be a saint. You don't have to have any other person's vote to let you know that you're a saint because you've been qualified to share in the portion of the saints. A saint is simply God's child. That's all a saint is. A saint is, you've been qualified. Say, I've been qualified. Isn't that great? You didn't have to do anything but put your trust in him, and he did the rest, and he made it happen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what. Something's going on tonight. Amen? Now, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. All right? That's just a little bit about your origin. Okay? Because when people ask you, where did you come from? You say, I came from God. Yeah. God created you. God breathed the breath of life into you. God formed you. And by the way, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Say, I'm wonderful. Because he made me wonderful. You ain't wonderful because of yourself. You're wonderful because of him. All right? Now, when you know your origin, where you came from, now you have to know your position. Where did God position you? All right? And with position comes privilege. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Where God positioned you is he positioned you in Christ. Say this. Say, I am in Christ. Okay, so that means everyone who is in Christ, they get certain things. People who aren't in Christ don't get what you have. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, let me read it. It says, Blessing be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us, where? In Christ. With what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Say every spiritual blessing. I guarantee you that God did not forget about anything. He's put in a whole package. He jotted every I and crossed every T. So in Him, in Christ, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Okay? You have all that you need in Christ. Well, I want to get with another person. They complete me. No, Christ completes you. If you're waiting for another person to complete you, you're going to be incomplete. Christ is the only one that completes you. Verse 4. Even as He chose us, actually picked us out for Himself as His own, where? In Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. For what? That we should be holy and blameless and above reproach before Him in love. So in Him, He chose you to be holy, blameless, and above reproach. You know what? If you live above reproach, the world cannot mess with you because you're above reproach. If the world tries to bring reproach to you, it can't touch you because you're higher, because you're in Christ. Your position is in Christ. Okay? Verse 5. For He foreordained us to be adopted as His own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of His will, because it pleased Him and it was His kind intent. So He adopted you as His own children. He says, you, I want you on my team. He chose you to be on the winning team. It was His purpose long before you ever came about. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew you that you were going to be here tonight hearing about your what position that you've been given. Hallelujah. People want positions. What am I going to be? What am I going to do? What's my job description? I'm giving you your job. Your job description is to be holy, to be blameless, to be in Him, to walk in authority and power, to hold your head up high because He's the glory and the lifter of your head. Not to be depressed, not to be down, but to be up. Not to be the tail, but be the head. Not to be defeated, but to walk in victory. That is your job description. It goes along with the position. Your position is in Christ. You got to act like Christ. You got to walk like Christ. You got to think like Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Because the only way that you can hold your position in Christ is to renew the mind, is to change the way you think. And you can only change the way you think through the Word and the Spirit. So you've got to begin to see yourself as God sees you. He sees you in Christ. Okay? Anytime that you read in Him, with Him, through Him, or for Him, that's your job description. All right? Let's go to verse 6. See, this is chocked full. I can't just cover it quickly. So that we might be to the praise and the commendation of His glorious grace, favor and mercy, which He so freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him, He freely bestowed on you glorious grace. You've got, say, I've got glorious grace. You know why He gave us glorious grace? Because He's coming back for a glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. A church that reflects His glory. Amen. You can't reflect glory when you're darkened. You gotta be light reflector. Amen. You gotta be like the moon. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have light on its own, but it reflects the light of the sun. Glory to God. In Him, He bestowed on you glorious grace. I just might take off running around this place tonight. This stuff gets me excited. Verse 7. In him we have redemption, that is deliverance and salvation, through his blood, the remission or forgiveness of our offenses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. So in him we're delivered, forgiven, and we have salvation. Glory to God. That means before you show up to face your enemy, you've already been delivered. You gotta face your enemy with a delivered mentality. Amen? When David faced Goliath, he wasn't facing him in defeat. He was facing him in victory. He knew that he had the victory before he ever faced the giant. That's what faith does. Faith walks in the victory no matter what it faces. I don't care how big the problem is or the obstacle is. I've got the victory before I even show up. I didn't know I'd be spitting and preaching fire tonight, but see, notice it's in him. It didn't say going to be. If you're in Christ, it is as it is right now. It didn't say in Christ you're going to be delivered. Now, I don't know where that word came in my vocabulary. But that word, I'm gonna, came in my vocabulary. And I am rooting that sucker out. Amen? I'm not gonna do it, I will. I shall. I'm not gonna have it, I have it now. You gotta kind of watch the words that you use. You can listen to the whole month of January, and I talked about words, so I'm not talking about that tonight. Go to verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of his will. You ever hear anybody say, oh, God's mysterious? And they talk like they can never understand what God is talking about or what God is doing. But notice, he makes known to you the mystery. If he makes known to you the mystery, it's not a mystery to you anymore. It's a mystery to those who are not in Christ. But to those who are in Christ, he makes known the mystery. He gives you the understanding. He gives you the light. In accordance with his good pleasure, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him. Whose image are you made in? You're made in his image and his likeness. That was his intent from the very beginning. And what happened? Sin came in. And sin messed up our image. It's like someone going through a fire. And they get burned. Their image gets messed up. But thank God, Jesus is a plastic surgeon. Amen? He's not just a plastic surgeon, but he takes the old and makes it brand new. He just doesn't put one skin. He gives us a transfusion of his blood. He covers us with his hands. He puts his nature in us. He totally makes you into a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, right now, all things become new. Verse 11, in him, that's our position, that's our place, we also were made God's heritage, and we obtained an inheritance, for we had been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand, in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. So, in other words, in him you obtained an inheritance for someone who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath. What did you do to get your inheritance? Nothing. He just gave it to you because that was his will from the beginning. You're an heir with Christ. You're an heir. Say, I'm an heir of one. I used to have my license plate, used to say Heir of One, because I had a ministry called Heirs of Promise Ministries. That's why we talk about inheritance now. That's why this is a place where we inherit God's promises and experience their benefit. Why? Because we're all heirs. Someone, God, wrote you in his will. And he's got so much money that he uses gold for pavement. That means you've inherited something that there's no lack, there's no lack of supply, there's no shortage. It doesn't matter what the economy does. God is above the economy. I'll tell you why. Because in the land of Egypt, when there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. When there were flies in Egypt, there was peace in Goshen. When people were dying in Egypt, people were living in Goshen. God separated Goshen from what was happening in Egypt. And if he can separate what's happening in Goshen, it doesn't matter what the economy does. Amen? Quit talking about the economy. The economy's not your source. God is your source. He can bring water from a rock. He can send ravens at your door with a Big Mac. Why? We don't have to worry. God said that the birds, you ever see the birds saying, chirp, 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 what are we going to do this winter? I know what we're going to do. The birds never have the council of birds saying, what are the birds going to do? God said, you're worth more than a bird. If he takes care of the birds, how much more will he take care of his child? We got to quit worrying about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. Some of us need to not eat so much. Look at verse 13. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth and believed it. You know, it's not just heard it, but hear it and believe it. How do you know you believe it? Because you act on it. Oh yeah, well I heard it. Yeah, but did you do anything with it? No. Then this doesn't apply to you. This only applies to the people who heard it and did it, not who just heard it. Oh, yeah, I know that scripture. Yeah, have you done it? No. But I heard it. I heard it 100 times. Oh, yeah, I could quote it to you. Yeah, but have you done it? Have you done it? What do you get if you hear it and believe it? You are sealed with the long-promised Holy Spirit. He put a stamp on your forehead. I'm going to use Sean for an illustration. When you hear the word and you believe it, he puts a stamp on you. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. He goes, zzz, like you zip up a coat. Zip! You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. God puts his seal. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is only the down payment of what God wants to give us? Did you know that if you buy a house for $100,000 and you put a $20,000 payment, the $20,000 is not the whole house? The $20,000 is just a part of it? Now, if the Holy Spirit is our down payment, imagine what the whole house is going to be like. Imagine what the glorified body is going to be like. Imagine what it's going to be like when we're in the kingdom of light, where there's no tear, there's no sorrow, there's only joy and rejoicing and singing and goodness. Hallelujah. If you think the Holy Spirit's good, how much more will God give us? Listen, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's powerhouse. He is the mitochondria of Christianity. You say, what's a mitochondria? The mitochondria is the powerhouse of a cell. It's where the cells in your body, they have a mitochondria in it, and that's what causes the cells to reproduce. It's the power plant of the cell. And since the Holy Spirit, he's the power plant of Christianity. Now, Jesus told his disciples, he was at a feast. And you know, the Jewish people, they know how to party. They don't just have a party for a day. It's usually 7 days. You know, they have feasts, the Feast of Weeks. You know, how long do you think a Feast of Weeks lasted? Huh? And on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Why do you suppose he said rivers? Because still water does not generate power. The water has to move. I want you to see something here. See, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. All right? And as it picks up speed, it's like one of those old trains. Something inside the train. It might be coal. It might be fuel. You put that on the inside, and an explosion takes place on the inside, right? And it causes steam. And that steam starts to generate power. And the more steam that is produced, the faster that train can go down the tracks. And even if it's a little train on a big hill, that little train can say, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." And because of what it says, it can make it over that hill. Since we heard the message and we believe that God sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Go with me to John 14. John 14. This is what the Lord laid on my heart for today. Totally off of the identity in Christ right now. John 14. Look at verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you for how long? Forever." Who is he? "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Why can't the world receive him? Because they're not in Christ. But they can be. But overall, as a whole, the world is not in Christ. That's why we need preachers to preach the message of the gospel so that they can come into Christ. "The world cannot receive, because it does not see him, nor know or recognize him. But you know and recognize him." Why? Because you were sealed with him. "For he lives with you and will be in you." And once he gets in you, there will be a combustion that takes place. You will have a spiritual combustion, internal combustion engine within you. And an engine is all about power. It's power producing. So he doesn't just want to be with you as a seal. He wants to be in you. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. I believe that there are some here tonight that need to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And you know what? God wants to fill you. He wants to add the spice to your life. He wants to add fire to your bones. He wants to add power to your testimony. Power so that you can witness. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, God had chose a particular day. And on that day, He was going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Joel prophesied about it. He said, your Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. People are going to see visions and dream dreams. And on your men and on your handmaidens, I will pour out my Spirit. God has done this. Here in Acts 2 was a fulfillment of what Joel spoke about long before it ever came about. They were all assembled together in one place. Are we in one place? Are we assembled together? When suddenly there came a sound from heaven. This sound didn't come from the earth. It didn't come from the speakers. It came from heaven, so it came down. It would be like God popping the cork off a Holy Spirit bottle. Wait, yeah. There we go. But it was much louder because it sounded like a rushing, violent wind. Before a tornado touches ground, it sounds like that freight train. You know, you can hear a freight train. It makes a loud noise. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Well, because He was in the house, because if two or three are gathered in His name, guess what? He was there. So God likes to fill the house. He likes to charge the atmosphere. Amen? And what happened? There appeared to them tongues resembling fire. I'll use Sean again as an example. You know, here. Fire. You know how the flames crackle?
Right.
Thank you for my rendition of fire. I'll be appearing as smoke next week. And it was separated and distributed and settled on each one of them. Everybody say each one. There wasn't one that was left out. There was 120 people in that room. They had a church service of 120. We're going to exceed 120. No, I'm sorry. We shall exceed 120. We're going to see more than 120. There will be more than 120. And notice verse 4. They were all what? When you feel something, does it go on the outside or the inside? So they were filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit. And because they were filled, if you had a bottle of soda and you shook it up and you took the lid off of that, what's going to happen? What's on the inside is going to come out with some force. So what happens is when God fills us with the Holy Spirit, it's like He shakes us up and something comes out with force. But in this case, they began to speak in other languages. These were languages that they never studied, languages that they never learned. They just supernaturally were enabled to speak in other languages. We call it tongues. Who did the speaking? All right, let me ask that again. Who did the speaking? The people. God didn't come in and move their mouth like Howdy Doody. He simply filled them with the Holy Spirit. Then they spoke. And the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue. Now, this caused such a stir that that people from all around came to see this place. What's happening? They came to VCF and say, what's going on in there? They heard this. 120 people must have been loud because the words were coming up. Excuse me. But they were all filled. Say they were all filled. Not one of them was left out. And people outside, they were from all different countries. They said, we hear these Galileans speaking in all these other languages, and they were magnifying God. And Peter got up. What did Peter do prior to Jesus' resurrection toward the end? What did Peter do? He denied the Lord, okay? But after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he wasn't afraid to get up in a crowd of 3,000 people. Why? Because now he had power. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he spoke with such authority that 3,000 people were touched in their heart. But tonight, for those that are not filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you've never been filled, maybe you've never heard about it, but I want to give you an opportunity to get filled tonight. Amen? It's a free gift. And God will fill anybody who asks him. And you just got to open up your heart. So if you're here tonight and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to increase the seal on your life. And he wants to get it on the inside of you. He wants to put his Holy Spirit in you. And the result is you'll be enabled to speak a language that you've never studied or learned. It's actually a supernatural occurrence. So is there anyone here tonight that you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and would like to be? The Bible says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius' house, and that was the first time that the Gentiles experienced what they experienced in Acts 2. And then in Acts 19, there were some people from Ephesus that also got filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than y'all. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, spoke in tongues. You know, don't so much focus on the tongues, just focus on God. Amen? Now, if you want to be filled, I want you to come up right now. You've never been filled? You don't have to fear. I never call up people to embarrass them. When I was a 12-year-old boy, I came up just like I'm asking you to do right now. And I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. And when I said, Jesus, come into my life, I had my hands raised like this because I didn't know what I was doing. And I felt something go like this, whoom, like that. And then all of a sudden, my hands began to shake like this, and I ended up on the floor. And I was smiling and crying at the same time. It was such an awesome thing. But you know what? God wants to fill you tonight. And you know what? The people in Acts 2 also got filled in Acts 4. Because they used what they had and they got some more. Maybe you just want more. Amen? But you've got to come. You got to come to Jesus. So that's the faith part. I know that there's some people here that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're reluctant. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just deal with that reluctancy, Lord, and we just come before you. We yield our hearts to you and our members of righteousness. Say this. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Say, I'm not ashamed of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Say, I'm not ashamed of having all that God wants me to have. I'm a child of God. My Father is good. He gives me good things to enjoy. So he's given you something that will be very enjoyable. So I want you to come right now. Hallelujah. God is here. This is what he wanted me to do tonight. So he had full intentions of filling the people that need to be full. So come. Spirit, Hallelujah, Lord.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, we're just going to let him move.
We just offer ourselves vessels you can use.
Hallelujah.
Move, Holy Spirit, move.
Hallelujah. Oh, he's moving, he's moving, he's moving.
Move,
get ready, get ready.
Spirit.
Can just stand up. Oh, let's just give him praise. We ask, thank you, Lord, for moving in this place. Do what you want to do, Lord. Oh, we magnify you, Lord God, on this Wednesday night, Father. Let this be a memorable night. Lord, seal this night, Father, in your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Say, God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want you to do. Ask the Lord what he would have you give to him as an offering. Take a moment right now and just say, Lord, what is it that you would have me give unto you? You are all mine, I'm all yours, and I will be obedient, Father. I just ask you to speak to the hearts of those that are here. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified with our gifts as we worship you, Father. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. It is a joy, an honor, and a privilege to be able to give into your kingdom. And whatever it is you may need, count this as a seed into the ground that the Holy Spirit has prepared. And he will increase it. He'll meet that need. You just be obedient to what's in your heart. All right? Thank you, Lord. And then as you go, you can worship the Lord in your giving. Hallelujah. Isn't, I tell you what, I'm glad I came tonight. God is so good, amen. He never disappoints. He never lets down. He's always there. So Father, tonight we just go in your power, full of your word, full of your spirit, and we go and honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.